Sports Radio 99 The Game on a Monday night, first night of game week of college football, and now a little bit of a delay in the proceedings of the NFL because the season won't begin till a week from Thursday on September the 4th, and of course about 13 days now till the Falcons host Tampa in the opener at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. A lot of high expectations for the Atlanta Falcons this year. Certainly I probably have higher expectations than some, and probably will set me up for failure once again because I tend to do this every year. Joe Patrick covers the team for us. He is our Falcons insider and the host of Joe Patrick on Football, which, by the way, happens to be the best podcast on the Falcons anywhere.
That's so nice of you to say, John. Appreciate it.
It's only because I hear you get great guests.
The guests are fantastic. They are truly what make the show. So, stay tuned for that.
Stay tuned for that. Joe, as we get ready now, 2 weeks before the season here, let's talk about let's just leave with the big headlines here. What are you going to do if you are Terry Fontenot about right tackle? Bill Barnwell, consider the source of ESPN, says Clark Phillips traded for Wanya Morris of the Chiefs, that they ought to do that deal and bring in Wanya Morris, who was once considered to be highly touted tackle and has kind of floated around a little bit. Is it a trade? Is it a combing the free agent cuts here? What do you do about right tackle, at least for the first, half of the season here?
Yeah, I have no doubt that Terry Fontenot is busy, making calls around the league, asking teams about their kind of bottom of the roster tackles right now and trying to see if there's any that they'd be willing to part with that match up with, what the Falcons like. And make no mistake, the Falcons have in their scouting department a database that's got profiles of every player in the league and even outside and playing football in other leagues. And so I'm sure that they are collecting all their information on the tackles in those databases and looking at the ones that may be available that they can go out to the market for and try to acquire. I think that the question mark is whether he kind of prefers to try to do a deal before the cuts happen tomorrow, or if he prefers to just see what players are cut and then kind of take a pick from there, or, if they don't like any or aren't able to get any of the ones that are cut, to then go out and make a trade afterwards. But you would think, like with regards to Bill Barnwell's proposal, I certainly would think that if the Falcons were interested in Wanya Morris, then that would be a deal that they would like to do, because I don't see Clark Phillips being on this roster past cuts. Now, maybe I could be wrong there, but if that's the case, I would think that would be a feasible possibility. I don't think they need to kind of go too far, though, in terms of going out to acquire this tackle, because ultimately you do have Storm Norton coming back. And it's worth noting, John, like Storm Norton, like I've been saying that because it's true. I think the team is confident in a player like Storm Norton, but Storm Norton himself was just a run-of-the-mill practice squad poach from the Saints when the Falcons acquired him a couple of years ago. So I think that ultimately you can get guys who can do a decent enough job for you, especially in pass protection, especially as it relates to or in comparison to what Caleb McGarry is as a pass protector. What the Falcons are really going to be lacking, and they're not going to be able to replace from Caleb McGarry, is his strength and his ability in the run game. Like that's just not going to be there for them. So I think they're going to need to get creative during the season in terms of how they run the ball. I don't know if they'll just be able to spam the outside zone run behind Caleb McGarry as much as they have in the past. And they might have to do some more creative, interior runs, gap scheme runs, potentially playing Charlie Warner even a little bit more, and trying to find a different role for Kyle Pitts if they feel like that having Warner as a blocker is going to help their run game get going. But, I make no mistake, Tyree Fontenot is going to be out there trying to find some sort of solution so they can patch this thing up.
Do you think, Joe Patrick joining us, do you think the Falcons were a little bit coy on McGarry, kind of almost in the immediate aftermath of the injury? They've continued to be just a little bit, coy about it. Is he gone for the year? I mean, is any chance that he could return at some point?
I mean, we don't know, but honestly, for me, I'm considering him out for the year. Now, I could be wrong, and if the Falcons are able to get him back at some point, like week 10 or whatever it might be, then that feels to me like kind of icing on the cake or like a silver lining of the situation, that you might be able to get an offensive lineman back potentially before the season's over. And if you are in a good spot, then that would be certainly a boost if you were looking like a playoff team at that point. But, you know, the honest truth is we just don't know. John, I was there. I saw the injury. I didn't see the injury occur itself, but I did see kind of the aftermath of Caleb on the cart and then getting off the cart. And it looked to me like he was not able to put any weight, or maybe just very, very limited weight on at least one of his legs, and he had needed help kind of, you know, getting limped off or like carried off, but, you know, using two personnel with his arms around them to hop on inside the building. So to me, that indicates a pretty serious injury there. And I think regardless, you know, based on what Raheem Morris said, a significant period of time, I'm thinking that's at least half the season, but I'm kind of, my baseline is like, I'm just not considering him as part of the picture for now.
Do you think, Joe, you know, all things, you know, including, I guess, you know, the injuries to, you know, Norton and McGarry and Mooney, from what you've seen, and of course the much talked about, much discussed lack of the fact that the offense didn't play, you know, any snaps in the preseason, defense did, offense did not. Do you think this club is, after camp, after the joint practices, after the preseason, and now going into the Tampa game, do you consider them to be ready to play? Are they at where you would want them to be?
I mean, I think the offense is as ready to play as you can get. I mean, listen, I know a lot of fans are frustrated that they haven't seen Michael Penix in the preseason, and I would include myself as one of those people because, you know, just selfishly, I want it when there's football being played and it has the trappings of an NFL game, I want to see the best players play. And it's frustrating when you don't get that opportunity to see it. It feels like a bit of a mirage or something. So it's frustrating for that reason. And something I've heard in the aftermath of the preseason and the way that was, you know, basically, you know, done by the Falcons is frustration and like uncertainty that we don't know what to expect. We don't know if our guys are ready, et cetera, et cetera. And to me, I kind of see that as a feature and not a bug of like what, you know, Raheem Morris wants. I think that he doesn't want to give anything away. And there's also injury mitigation. He's going to say that. And that is no doubt probably the primary reason for it. But I don't think that he hates the fact that a lot of people are just wondering exactly what this Falcons offense is going to look like. And maybe one reason I'm not as concerned about it as some other people is because I've had the privilege of being out there at Flowery Branch throughout training camp, and I've been able to see them functioning. And what I see when I'm out there is every practice, Michael Penix making at least one throw that makes you like look to the person standing next to you and going like, oh my gosh, did you see what he just did? That was unbelievable. And so those are the kinds of throws that get you excited. And frankly, for me, I've been covering this team since 2022, so I haven't seen, you know, the best quarterbacks, but it feels like there's been somewhat of a steady increase in the talent from Mariota to Ritter to Kirk Cousins last year, and now Michael Penix. And Michael Penix is pushing the ball downfield, completing more passes, you know, 20-plus yards downfield than any of those quarterbacks. In fact, probably all those quarterbacks combined, Michael Penix has, you know, pushed the ball and completed more downfield passes than. So what I'm seeing in practice has been certainly very exciting. I think that Michael Penix just opens things up for everybody in this offense. And not to say that it's going to go absolutely perfectly. I think that he's going to have his fair share of mistakes. He's going to have his fair share of misses. But ultimately, I think that this Falcons offense is pretty solid and ready to go. One other thing, John, like I think that a lot of people will look to last year and say, yeah, they didn't start last year, and look how that game went against the Steelers. And even, you know, it wasn't fantastic against the Eagles in week two either. But I thought that, you know, the person who needed the preseason the most at that point was Zach Robinson, who hadn't called an NFL game. He hadn't called plays for a game yet in his career. And I thought that showed against the Steelers. Now he's got a lot more familiarity with the team, with the whole process of calling plays. And I think that is going to help the Falcons kind of get off to a better start a lot more so this season.
Couple more minutes with our Falcons insider, Joe Patrick, John Fricke on 92.9 The Game tonight. Joe, I'm not going to ask you who the second wide receiver is. I'm going to ask you the question this way. Who is target number two at the moment for Michael Penix? Is it Kyle Pitts? Is it Bijan out of the backfield? Or is it somebody else?
I mean, right at this moment, it's Casey Washington. And that might surprise some people. But Casey Washington, he was a sixth-round pick last year, so going into his second year as a pro this year. And, you know, he is raw. He is still, I think, the route running, there's a little that he has to, or a lot, you know, that he's got to work on. But he has athleticism that not many in that receiving room have, just in terms of the burst, the quickness, the ability to separate, and the downfield speed. And that allows him to just get open. And that's what this Falcons team needs from the X role. And I think, you know, along those lines, I think that as the season progresses, now we don't expect Casey Washington to be, you know, in the lineup once Darnell Mooney returns to play, but we haven't seen that. I do think Darnell Mooney and what he does and what we saw from him last year, just like, you know, the green shoots of the relationship with Michael Penix, I do think that he will be without a doubt the number two. Drake London's going to be the number one. Drake London's going to get a ton of catches and targets this year, make no mistake. But Darnell Mooney, I think with the attributes that he has, what he likes to do, I think that he's going to set up great with Michael Penix. Just the outbreaking routes, we saw him have success with Kirk Cousins on a lot of like stop routes, comeback routes, those types of things. And I think that Michael Penix can deliver those types of passes, but I also think that he can deliver passes for Darnell Mooney where Mooney is running in stride towards the opponent's goal line, which often wasn't the case with Kirk Cousins. So I think that that's going to be a really good relationship. But they haven't really had many reps together, you know. He got hurt on the first practice of training camp and has not returned since. And frankly, we don't know when he's going to return. So it is a question mark as to when that will happen. But right now it is Casey Washington. And I would say, I think a lot of people are probably wondering about Kyle Pitts. To me, he's still not like going to be a volume target for the team. I think he's going to have big plays like he had last year and probably even more opportunities for those big plays with Michael Penix and the arm that he has. But ultimately, I still don't see him as being like a regular, you know, receiver, basically. He's just going to be more of an explosive target.
All right, I got about 1 minute for the final question here. Jeff Ulbrich has not shown you much of anything. He's shown you nothing, actually. Yeah. In terms of what he wants to do, do you expect that when they get out there against Tampa, that the fans are going to notice a decided difference in how this team plays defense, how they attack the field, how they play just generally in terms of not personnel wise, but in scheme wise?
Scheme wise, yes, but I would say a lot of it comes down to personnel, John. You know, it's like not having Caden Ellis and Divine Diablo at linebacker makes the team look completely different. Like, you know, you don't have linebackers who are as capable of getting into coverage spots or, you know, really just like hitting their run fits. And Divine Diablo in particular is a guy that I'm really looking forward to, and I'm excited to see Falcons fans react to him because he is just an absolute specimen, and he's new to the team, so people just have not literally seen him play a down of football for the Falcons before. But I think it's going to be an exciting defense. We may have talked a little bit more about this on the podcast, so stay tuned this week. But I think that there's a lot of exciting potential on that defensive side of the football under Ulbrich.
Yeah, all right. So tell everybody about this podcast, where they can find it.
Yeah, Joe Patrick on Football. You can find it on 92.9 The Game's YouTube channel, or just, you know, search Joe Patrick on the app or wherever you get your podcast. It'll pop up for you.
Yeah, and the guests are great. I'm just, they're really good. They're smart guys.
Smart.
Can't imagine who that might be. Yeah, well, thank you, Joe. Yeah, <don't know. laughs> go for my wife. I'll ask her. Joe, as always, I appreciate it.
All right, thanks, John.
Joe Patrick on Football. Yeah, find it wherever you find your podcast. Joe and I spent good 45 minutes then just chopping all everything up about the Falcons. Quick break. When we get back, we setting ourselves up for failure, or are you a realist here? All right, camp's over. Preseason's over. Next stop, Tampa. You setting yourself up for failure? You buying into it? What are you doing here? Walk me through this, Falcons fans, on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.